area, though, it may end up cutting in and out on us.
Are you on a cell phone right now?
You know. Yes, I am.
Well, we'll give it a shot.
Okay, then.
All right?
All right.
We're talking with John Starks. John, of course, the famed New York Knicks star. He has written an amazing book, actually. One of the few books I've actually sat and read. It's called My Life, and it's well done with Dan Markowitz from Sports Publishing, LLC. And it's a riveting book. What a life you've led for folks who think of the glamour of the NBA and all the great things that come with it. You certainly put in your time as a child with lots of problems and lots of situations and not an enviable childhood, but certainly came out of it quite well.
Yeah. You know, just, you know, something growing up as a young man and just trying to find his way. Growing up in a single-parent home, raised by my mother and my grandmother. And it was seven of us all together, so you can imagine how tough that was on both of them.
Yeah.
And it was five boys in the beginning, so it makes it even tougher. So, but, you know, it was just something that I had to get through, as well as the rest of my family.
I mean, I look at the book, and in the book, your mom also had some problems as well,
yeah.
And there were many times where you and your brothers and sisters would end up at your grandmother's house, who seemed to be, from what I can see, the most dominant individual in your life.
Oh, no question. My mother is everything to me, and my grandmother, too. You know, both of them were very strong women. My mother went through a lot, and the troubles that she had to deal with, you know, with the men in her life and stuff like that. So, but she was able to come out of it with her sanity and able to keep us together.
Now, tell us a little bit about your brother Monty. I mean, in the book here, he's in jail most of the time, where you were starring. I know that from what I can see from reading the book that he was a big influence on you in terms of your athleticism and challenging you on the court. And how's he doing?
He's doing great. You know, Monty, no question, was a big influence in my life, and I needed him at a time where I was going through some troubles in my life and not knowing which way I was going to turn. And I was fortunate enough to have him at that point, that crossroads, so to speak, in my life to, you know, kind of guide me and keep me on the right path.
Now, you went to the CBA and then went to the NBA. And when it looked to me like you were kind of born to be a New York Knick. You perfectly fit that system that they did. And especially when Pat Riley came in, it seemed to me like that was really when you took off.
Yeah, you know, New York is my style of basketball, and Coach Riley is my style of coach. You know, he was an aggressive, defensive-minded coach because he was that type of player. And so, you know, it kind of fit my mold and my thinking as a player on how the game should be played. And so, you know, it was fortunate enough for me that I was in the right place at the right time. And in this game, you have to be able to, you know, being in situations like that, and for me, it was a perfect situation.
When Coach Riley went to Miami, how did that affect you?
You know, I was sad to see him go, but I knew that, and as well as he did, and probably my teammates knew, it was just time for a change on both sides. And so, but you know, as a player, you hate to see a great coach like that leave. But, you know, in this game right here, changes are going to be made on both sides. And so we just had to, you know, stay focused on our job as well as what he had to do when he got to Miami.
Now, I know when you guys played Miami that you actually walked over to the Coach Riley and gave him a hug or something. It got you in a lot of trouble with your own coach.
Yeah, you know, Don Nelson, you know, he took offense to that. And, you know, but, you know, like I said in the book, Coach Riley meant so much to me early on in my career, and what he taught me was very valuable as a young player coming in this league, and how to maintain your focus and how to be a professional in a sense. So, you know, but Don Nelson, he took offense to that, but, you know, I didn't care. You know, Coach Riley meant a lot to me.
Well, you wonder about Don Nelson when you hear things like that, because it's obvious that you were very close to Pat Riley, and you know, and we're just giving him an affectionate hello. It wasn't a reflection on Don Nelson at all.
No, not at all. You know, me and Don Nelson had some troubles early on, because when I first came in the league, I was with Golden State, and you know, I was this young, brash rookie, and wanted a lot of playing time. Wanted to play, really, not a lot of playing time, but just wanted to play, and wasn't feel like I wasn't getting the opportunity. So we had a little disagreement, and I think he just, for all those years, he just you know, took that to heart and never let it go, and so. But, you know, in this game right here, you have to have a short memory. And I don't think he's the type of coach that has a short memory.
It's interesting you mentioned short memories, because, I mean, if you had just been thinking about the poor game that you had in the 2-for-18 shooting in the 94 playoffs in Game 7, instead of all the great things you did, it's so easy for a player to get emotionally just so upset about a game like that that they don't come back. But you have to put it aside really quickly.
Yeah, you do, and it's probably the reason I got short memory is because my upbringing and what I had to deal with, and you know, the moving that we went through growing up, and so you had to get over things very quickly. You know, you can't just linger on certain situations. So it kind of helped me prepare me for a game 7 like that, and so I was able to, you know, get through it once I dealt with it, and move on and go on and have a successful career.
How important was it to have some stable life like with Jackie that you had?
It was very important. You know, like I said, I've been moving all my life, and as a young man, and to have that stability, and to be, you know, grounded, so to speak, and to have a wife and a kid to look after. You know, it gave me that stability that I needed in my life at that particular time, and it gave me some responsibility that I didn't, you know, as a young man, didn't do too good with. But having a wife and a son early on at 21, it gave me a sense of responsibility that I had to, you know, stop doing what I was doing and go on and be successful.
You know, it's interesting when you look at the juxtaposition between the two situations. If you look at yourself growing up in a single-family household with a lot of crime and a lot of things that are happening around you, and I assume that your own son grew up with a lot better surroundings and a father in his life, what kind of advantages does that have, and do you worry about spoiling your kid?
No, it's a great advantage, I think, because, you know, you have to have that balance in your life, and every child have to have that, not just, you know, sons, but daughters too. You know, my mother, she really didn't have that growing up either, you know, in her life, that father and mother, you know, they're in the household all the time. So, you know, you have to have that balance, and I think I'm thankful that I'm able to do that along with my wife. Give my son a sense of balance as well as my daughters.
Do your children, any of them have athletic ability like yourself?
Yeah, all of them do, actually. Yeah, my son, he's going into his senior year, and so I'm looking for some big things out of him this year. He's going to be a good little ball player. My daughter, she's into equestrian, you know, horses and
really?
That nature, and she used to run track, and she plays basketball right now, so...
So you haven't got on the horse yourself yet, have you?
No, I don't mess with horses.
So what are you doing with all your time? I know you've written a book here, but
yeah.
Are you still involved in basketball? I know you're coaching, right? Are you coaching in the CBA?
Yes, USBL, actually.
Okay.
Basketball league, and I've been doing that for the last 2 years, and just recently, past year, I did some coaching for the, but some television work for Madison Square Garden on some of the Knicks games.
Uh-huh. So maybe you get more into media as you go along?
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I'm just kind of testing the waters and see exactly what I want to do. But I love coaching. That's something that's in my blood now. And, you know, eventually I want to be able to coach at the next level.
Yeah, I look back and I read this book. I love the book, by the way, but I read the book and I remember just reading about the part where you stole a car and ended up in jail. And I said to myself, how do you go from that to where you are now? I mean, it must be something inside you, and also it must have been other people who gave you a chance to get out of there.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, my grandmother and my mother, they really instilled some good values inside of me, you know. But boys gonna be boys, and if you don't have that, like say, that father figure in your life or that male figure, period, to kind of guide you, you know, you tend to get yourself in trouble, and that's what I did. I got myself in some trouble, but you know, I knew the difference between right and wrong, and I knew that, you know, this wasn't gonna be a life for me, you know. I knew that crime is wasn't going to be a life for me. It's just something that, you know, I got involved in, which I should have stayed away from it, but I didn't. And it cost me. But it was a learning experience for me. Actually, getting put in jail for those 5 days kind of saved me in the end, which I talked about in the book, about my brother and me. And so it was a blessing in disguise, in a sense.
Hmm. Now, for kids that are listening to the show, who picture themselves in the NBA, who are working hard, or they're either playing on the street or playing in high school, what kind of advice can you give them in terms of making that next step?
Well, I think the most important thing is that they stay focused on their goals. You know, concentrate on doing the right thing and surround yourself with good people. I think that's the most important thing. You know, because you tend to follow the crowd, and sometimes that crowd is not going where you want to go. Even though you may want to go that way, you tend to get lost in the shuffle. And so keep, you know, good people around you and listen as much as you can. One thing about me, I've always been a good listener, and I think that's what really helped me get through those tough times that I got through, is because I always listen to people. And, you know, I'm a thinker by nature. And so I think for most kids, you know, they have to be able to decipher all the things that's out there that's not good for them, and just stay away from the bad things and try to be a part of the good things.
Mm. You know, it's a very good story for many people to read. If you like basketball, if you don't like basketball, it's my life is a very interesting story in terms of survival and success. And I would hope it'd be an inspiration. Do you do any speaking about inspirational talks?
Yeah, I talk all the time. You know, I do camps, and you know, I go speak to boys' homes and things of that nature. And one thing I should say, you know, life comes down to choices that you make. And, you know, everybody's going to come to a crossroad in their life where they had to make the right choice or the wrong choice. And fortunately for me, I was able to make the right choice at the right time. And so I think, you know, kids have to understand that, you know, even though you may be going through some things, you know, that opportunity is going to come for you. And you have to be able to, you know, make that right choice to determine your future.
One of the things that struck me in the book, and it's something that I've seen a lot of kids, because I coach as well, Coach Riley said to you at one point, I don't care if you miss three shots in a row. The official gives you a bad call or the opposing player taunts you. You have to stay in the game mentally. A lot of kids, they play very emotional like you did, and they have temper tantrums out there, and it takes them right out of the game. What kind of advice can you give the kids out there? Did you ever have professional help in terms of anger management? How did you end up controlling it?
I kind of self-taught myself to calm down. You know, I think because you do, for me, you know, when I get emotional, I can channel that. I learned how to channel that part and calm myself down and make me play a lot harder. You know, some, like you said, some kids out there, they end up losing it and they out the game. But for me, it was a part where I can take that emotion and turn it from a negative into a positive and help me play at another level. But, you know, you have to sit down and think what it takes in order for you to calm down and get back focused on the job at hand.
Hmm. You know, at one point, your team, they pretty much dumped everybody on the team. They brought in Rolando and Tony and a bunch of new people. But you still had Patrick. What was it like at that point where everything was turned around and in terms of team cohesiveness and unity and all that kind of stuff when people are tossed out? This happens all the time in Boston. That's where we do the show here. You know, they get rid of Antoine Walker and they get rid of all these different people. And sometimes the thing just doesn't gel. It did in your case, though.
No. You don't want to do a wholesale changes. You know, kind of like what Chicago did.
Right.
Michael left. They did a wholesale change and it hurt your chemistry. And it takes time for that, gel. And so when you make those wholesale changes, yeah, you're going to go through it. But, you know, you have to be able to bring guys in that's going to help you get through it. And so, New York did go through it for a minute, but they didn't stay in a slump as long as Chicago has.
No.
So,
Now, the Boston Celtics, of course, used to be legendary around the league, and people feared them. And nowadays, they're kind of a joke. It's an easy game to play.
Well, I think, Danny Ainge up there, he's going to make some moves to, try to bring the Celtics back to prominence. And so every team go through it. You know, you just have to be able to have somebody in position who can make those moves to, help you a little bit. And so I think Danny Ainge is probably the right guy for that position right there. Hopefully he can bring some players into their organization that can help him.
Yeah, we hope so, but many of us don't think that he's going to be another Auerbach in training.
Okay.
You know. John Starks, you can get to meet him a little bit by checking out My Life. It's a book with Dan Markowitz. And inside the book, this is a really cool thing. There's a DVD in there.
Yeah.
Which includes John's emotional farewell message to the New York Knicks fans. It's an interview with John. It's inside the book. It comes with it. What a great deal that is.
Yeah, that's the first time they ever done something like that. And so I think it's a great bonus to the readers who do purchase the book.
Yeah, it's only $25 for the book and includes the DVD. And it's available at a store near you. Again, all you got to do is just check it out. It's SP, Sports Publishing, LLC. And it's available in stores and also, of course, on Amazon and other online locations. Thanks so much for coming on, John.
Well, thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.